Live, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. When you hear that music, it only means one thing. Dave McGinnis is in the building. Coach Mack, always brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. Also did a fantastic job, Coach Mack, helping send all of us on all these playoff runs all over the place. Farm Bureau Health Plans really came up big for this station.
Oh, man, did they
ever.
And,
man, we love them, love the relationship, and what a heck of a postseason run. Three games we got out of this.
That was a great run. It really was. And, you know, just for the whole experience for everybody. I mean, let's just talk about the fan experience on the road that we had and the interaction that we had with everybody. I mean, all of those places, and then, I mean, it just increased. I mean, that final thing in the Power and Light District, I mean, that was for real. And that was just absolutely fabulous. And just see all those people and be able to interact with anybody and to just see the genuine joy that everybody had and that type of a feeling. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, the excitement that was in this city, that was in this state, that you could feel. I mean, I'm still getting this was big, and that's what the National Football League does. And when you're successful, and success in the National Football League is winning games. Mm-hmm. That is winning games. And when you're able to do that and you're able to go on a monumental run like the Tennessee Titans did in the playoffs, I mean, it just brings everything to a crescendo. It really does. It was great. I loved all of that stuff. I clearly love the football part of it. That goes without saying. But I really enjoyed the interaction with the fans and all of that that went with it.
I thought Mark Howard said it well on Monday morning. He said this generation of Titans fans needed this team because they really didn't have a team to latch on to fall in love with. And this team was easy to like, great work ethic, bunch of unselfish guys, low diva factor, which fits this city. It had been 17 years since an AFC championship game run. I think he's dead on that this city needed this. And boy, you mentioned these road trips. They latched on, man.
Wow. It was impressive. It really was. And then just to feel, I mean, you could feel genuine, not only excitement, you could really feel love about what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
With everybody. And I mean, that last thing in Power and Light Saturday night, you know, when John Robinson and I were able to go over there, I always go to Mass with the team at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so I'm never free till 8:30. And so that's why Rhett would always schedule me to be on, you know, at 8:40. And so, you know, we had started going over there together, you know, at about that time. And it was just, look, it was absolutely fabulous. Just fabulous. And what they've established, what Amy Adams Strunk through John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have established up there in that building is really, really good.
Dave McGinnis hanging out with us. This is a question I was going to ask you, but we got a caller. Let's go ahead and start taking some of these calls.
I love the calls. You know what? And here's the thing, too. So many people came up to me in Power and Light. I promised you, I took 88,000 pictures. I hugged about that many people.
Sure.
And I wish we were still doing it. And a lot of them were great. Most of them were great listeners and callers to this station. I mean, this station did a tremendous job during this playoff run. Tremendous job.
Let's get Chris in Nashville. And again, I love the question. This is one that I had written down for Coach Mack today, but we'll roll with Chris here. Chris, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big Mac, long time no see. I finally been able to catch you. I'm usually working or just getting off work when your segments are just ending. So I finally get to talk some football with you, big guy.
All right, Chris, thanks for calling in.
No worries. I just wanted to ask, like, with the obviously the great run that the Titans have had this season, what have been some of your favorite defensive moments of the Titans of this season? If it's hard to just pick out just one, so just name like maybe two or three.
Well, the goal line stands. I mean, the two multiples. The two real goal line stands.
Yeah.
And then those to me were. I mean, those are things, you know, after coaching in 650 NFL games. And being those don't happen in the National Football League. You know, when somebody has four shots at you from the 2 or the 1 yard line, normally in the National Football League, it's a pretty high percentage that you get in.
Mm-hmm.
And both the two real goal line stands that we all know that were so important, they were vital to winning the games. I mean, just incredibly vital. And I've been asked this before, and I'm glad that you ask. And then we just did the official Titans podcast, and asked what was your favorite game overall, and of course when you go through this many, you know, my favorite game overall was just the all-encompassing feeling after that Baltimore game, because you know that Baltimore game validated a lot of things that Baltimore game exercised a lot of demons for me because I was on that 2008 staff here on the 13-3 team that lost 13-10 here that I really feel like, you know, cost us a Super Bowl ring as an organization and as a city. And to go in there and to after beating New England and then to validate who you were and what you were about in the playoffs because they were the it team. Baltimore was the it team at that time, and everything was pointing to them. And that you talk about a live stadium. I mean, it was rolling. And the way you broadcast there, the people can come up and actually stick their hands in and high-five you in the booth. That's where you are. You're that low.
Not that they're going to.
And it's open. But they did. And so, but what made me so happy was is that after the game, so many Titans fans came running up to the booth.
Wow.
To high-five and to fist bump, and we're just so appreciative of what went on. And that feeling will stay with me for a long time of being able to silence that stadium. And then, you know, for all of us that were involved with all of the years of Baltimore and this organization to be able to win that game at that time, that was my favorite moment.
The goal line stands were awesome, but short yardage, fourth and short, all over the field, this team repeatedly came up with stops. As a defensive guy, how gratifying is that to you? And why were they so good at that?
Well, first of all, because they had a mindset. Look, there's two mindsets that you have to have that are different, you know, when you're coaching defense. One of them is a sudden change mindset. In other words, if for some reason the ball is turned over, you can't just run out there and just start playing. You have to have. I mean, we used to have, you know, defensively, you would have meetings on sudden change philosophy. What are we doing? What are teams trying to do? What are they trying to do to us? What is our philosophy on sudden change? Are we going to go out and immediately try to bring pressure and stone them on first down? Because a lot of teams, especially if they get the ball between the 40s on a sudden change, will go up top. You know, they want to go up top. So you have to plan sudden change, but you have to think about it. I mean, we used to pull our guys together on the sideline and reiterate some of those things before you go in. I mean, that's important. They practice that. They do that. Short yardage is the same thing. Short yardage is an entity unto itself because there are some different ways that you play your techniques all along the board on short yardage. There really are. The best short yardage play that I absolutely loved, and again, you know, was the play that David Long made in Baltimore when they ran that first fourth down quarterback power, right, which was two people swabbing a hole with a quarterback behind him and pulling a guard across the center, which usually gets you out of whack. And to have a young linebacker like that be able to read that center guard triangle and trigger, and there's always a little rabbit hole on a power O when the guard pulls and the center blocks back, that if you read it quick enough that you can squeeze through. You know, we call it run through. If you can run through the rabbit hole, and he did it. And that's why he ran through the rabbit hole and hit Jackson right in the face.
I remember you talking about young players. They have to learn to not think, because if you think, you're done.
No, you're done in that instance. But
they were counting on that right there.
Well, no, he played it. He played the play, and then he triggered, because you've got to trust your training, and he did. And that, to me, I mean, that those types of things, because of all the years that I've just been in front of a classroom of players, just emphasizing, knowing the work that goes into it, watching it practiced, and then watching it come to fruition in a big time in the game. I love that kind of stuff.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Another segment with Coach Dave McGinnis. Always love having Coach Mack on. Promise we'd take some more phone calls. Let's get a couple of these going. Phil in the borough. Lead us off this segment. Hey, Phil.
This is a popular question, Phil.
Thank you for taking my call. I got two questions real quick. Coach Mack, I really appreciate everything you do.
Thanks, Phil.
I wanted to ask first with the Titans, do you feel like this is going to be like a rebuild now that Pease is gone? Because it's going to kind of be hard to replace him and exactly the way he did it. And also, I didn't know if you could touch on the 49ers defense a little bit, because I felt like, you know, just watching them, they've peaked right at the right time, getting D Ford back and K1 back. And I think that they may have the defense that could actually slow down Kansas City. So I just wanted to see what you had to say. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Phil. All right, let's talk with San Fran real quick. Robert Saleh there runs a 4-3 defense. So he does a really nice job with it. What they have is they've got about six real young defensive linemen up front that they can roll in there that can really run. All right, and that's the foundation that John Lynch, that's what they built this offense with, and it couples with the running game that Kyle Shanahan has brought, you know, all through from his dad's system. That's why they've got a chance. They've got a chance to control the game offensively, and then once Kansas City starts doing their thing, they're going to be able to bring some pressure with four people and use seven in coverage. Okay, now let's get to the Titans and Dean Pease. Yeah, Dean Pease was a huge part of what was going on. Clearly, you see the respect that Mike Vrabel had for Dean Pease. He was the first coach he called when he got this job here. He basically talked him out of retirement twice, all right? And so, and as he said in his press conference, he didn't have the heart to do it again. Look, but you got to understand, this defense, you know, was Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel. I mean, it really was. It was blended really, really close. So the next person, and Mike Vrabel will be very deliberate with his choice. He's got a lot of different ways that he can go with this. First of all, he's got some guys there that have been with him now for 2 years in this system. There are other people now. And so the branch of the tree may not come directly off the trunk when you're talking about this type of system, but it won't get too far away from what it is now because Mike Vrabel is still there. And Mike Vrabel is, you know, wants this defense. This was the defense he played in. This was the defense he's coached. This is the defense that has brought them success. And so he will be very deliberate. He's got time to do it. He's got plenty of time to make the decision. He will make a good decision. And I promise you this, just as we saw him make a football decision on a coordinator that he made with Arthur Smith, this will be a football decision all the way.
For Pease, I know Mickey had said he saw him after the game in Kansas City, uh-huh. and even said something. He felt like he was done at that point, just watching him. When you get to that point in your career, you're so successful, and you know you've already retired once and been talked out of it and all that. Do you just know?
Sure, you do. I mean, it's like players. I mean, once you get to that point, and here's the thing about a man as accomplished as Dean Pease is, because Dean Pease is much more than a football coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really is. He's a fabulous individual. I love Dean Pease.
He's a teacher.
Yeah,
those guys love him.
Yeah, and I loved him. I loved every day that I spent with him up there because I knew him before he got here, and I knew guys that had worked for him. And so, I mean, he's just genuine. But there's so much more to him, and so he gave a lot of thought to this. This wasn't just a spur of the moment thought. You know, I mean, he gave a lot of thought to this, and so he gave everything to this football team, everything. I mean, we all know the incident in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know that he can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, so and you know he's got his son up there working with him, as he said. You know that meant everything to him too. But he gave everything to this football team, and so he knew that if it was time not to do that, then it was time. And so I respect a lot of coaches in this league that I've been involved with. You know, I really do. But I respect them not only for their football acumen, but for who they are as people and how they treat players. Because that's the biggest thing. When I first got in the league, and I was really young, and I was dropped into a group that was world champions, that were the best in the business. And so I took the best in the business and asked him specifically over dinner when I first got there, what do I have to do to earn these players' respect? And what he told me is exactly what Dean Pease did his whole 16-year career. You know, be very honest. Always be honest with your players. And care for them as much as you do as people, as you do about the number on their back. And he did that, and it works. It worked for me for 31 years. It worked for Dean for 16 years. And so when it works like that for you, when you leave, you know that you're leaving doing the right thing.
You're getting back in coaching?
Yeah, you're one of the best offensive minds in football. Would you have any interest in becoming?
No, the Wake Up Zone are pitching you for this job.
Yeah. and so are all of these Titans fans that listen to you.
I had 31 great years in this league. Very fulfilling, very successful. I mean, look, think about it. I coached 31 straight years in the National Football League. Mm. How fortunate was that? And how many people I've been with? And now I'm doing something I absolutely love doing. I am much more valuable to this fan base and to the Tennessee Titans doing what I'm doing right now than I would be in the defensive coordinator. But I appreciate the kind thoughts.
I was going to say, it's got to mean a lot to you that fans immediately turn your direction.
No, it just, I mean, look, as I said, there's a reason I came back here because I was doing some pretty cool stuff before I came back here and had the opportunity to come work for this organization. But the chance to get back here and be with this organization and then to be with this radio station and to be with the fans. Look, when you're coaching, you don't get to interact with the fans like right. I do now. You just don't get to. And now I'm.
And you love it.
I do absolutely love it. And I wasn't able to do it for 31 years. And now I'm making up for time. I promise you.
I'm lobbying if they stay in-house. Tyrone McKenzie, inside linebackers coach. Tell me about him. Tell our fans about him, what he does well.
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of Tyrone when he was a player. You know, I was a big fan of him when he was a player. When we were at the ranch, I was in charge of the Bill Walsh, you know, that intern program throughout the league. Jeff Fisher always put me in charge of that with him for 15 years. And I specifically brought Tyrone to the Rams. Because he was at Stanford at the time. I'd been following his career. I knew about Tyrone when he was coming out. Tyrone played at South Florida, and he played for Jim Levitt, who played for me at Missouri. You know, Jim Levitt was my starting safety the 3 years I coached the secondary at Missouri. And he told me then about Ty. So he's been on my radar for a long time, and he gets it. He gets it. He's a very, very promising young coach. And all you have to do, look, as a coach, the one thing that you do have that is visible to everybody is the way your players play. That's there for everybody to see. And to see the development, and it's not just Coach Mack saying this because I like Tyrone McKenzie as a person. I respect him as a coach. Look at the players that he's developed since he's been here with those inside linebackers. You know, look at what Jayon Brown's done. Okay, Wesley Woodyard, you know, and to be able to sync up with a veteran player and get a veteran player to buy in, you know, to what you're doing is huge. And Wesley Woodyard is one of the best. You know, I love him. But look what he did with Jayon. Look what he did with Rashawn Evans. Mm-hmm. You know, coming in. Look what he did with David Long.
Mm-hmm.
You watch players.
Stepped in, yeah.
Watch if you really want to judge assistant coaches, just watch their players. You don't have to hear them say a word. Watch their players week after week.
Free HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, starting the 3 o'clock hour with 30 more minutes of Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? They'll coach through it. Coach Mack will be with us today right up until 3:30 as we talk Titans. And, as we put the bow on a great season and immediately start to plan for the next one, Brent was telling you this story, Coach. We were in the locker room after the loss, and Jarrell Casey looked at one of the young players and said, "Don't get discouraged. It's time to grind. We start now."
Well, he's 100% right. I mean, that just is just reminiscent of the story that Jeff Fisher tells about Eddie George. You know, after the same thing, you know, he told him, you know, was, and he looked out his window, and Eddie's out running hundreds, you know, behind the on the fields. But that's a mindset that you have, because look, your time in the National Football League is precious. Yeah. It's short. Your window and this the platform is built on concrete with this organization right now, and that's when you've got to go.
How hard is it to say goodbye to any particular team?
It's brutal. It's brutal, Mickey. And look, here's what it's like. Okay. The speed limit in West Texas is 85. Do you know that? It's 85 miles an hour.
I'm surprised they have a speed limit.
If you're driving across West Texas to El Paso, there are some stretches where it's 85 miles an hour because you're not going to hit anything unless a longhorn steer gets loose. Okay? So, I mean, you can just roll, yeah. All right? It's like you're rolling down in West Texas at 85 miles an hour, and all of a sudden a brick wall comes up in the middle of the freeway, and you just hit it and you stop. That's what it's like. And especially when you get this deep into the playoffs, because first of all, you're running on adrenaline and you're just running on good stuff. You know, you're burning good fuel and you're just ready to go and everything is just clicking and you're going. And then all of a sudden it just stops. It ends because it's different than the regular season, because in the regular season, you know when it's going to end. All right. In other words, you're guaranteed 16 games in 17 weeks. You have to earn all the other games. And once you get in the tournament and you start to earn those other games, it just keeps accelerating on itself. And so it's brutal. It is brutal. I mean, the two things I really dislike the worst about all my 31 years of coaching, and I coached at all different levels, and everybody knows this. I was an assistant, you know, I was an assistant head coach, I was a coordinator, I was a head coach. The things in all of those areas that I really disliked the worst was cutting people,
yeah,
and then saying goodbye at the end of the season because you knew it was never going to be the same.
It's about 25%. The Titans have 18 unrestricted.
Well, sure
free
they do.
Agents,
I mean, so. That's just the league.
Yeah,
that's what the league is, and that's why it's so special when you get a group together that bonds and that is of one mindset that bonds like this group did. And that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you know, put together, you know, and then look, it's the atmosphere too that Amy Adams Strunk has created in that organization. Everybody was pulling the rope. Everybody's all in. Everybody. I mean, you know, our flight crew was all. I mean, look, everybody's in because we were together. I mean, we were together on four straight road trips that meant something.
Right.
And that really bonds you close. And so those are the things. And Jarrell is 100% right. Now's the time to even step up more, and this offseason's going to be fascinating.
It is great for this team because there are lots of places where you get into various sorts of turmoil at the top or some layer of, you know, some level above the team. You got an owner that's willing to spend money and do anything she's asked of by a general manager, John Robinson, who is making so many right moves. Look no further than the most recent draft class. By a head coach and Mike Vrabel, who got this team back to where it hasn't been in 17 years, to a room full of veteran leadership and good guys. If you're a Titans fan, you got a lot to be excited about.
Oh, you absolutely do. I mean, because it's real. I mean, it's real. I mean, look, we, the Titans and all of us that are involved with the Titans, we got a huge bump out of the draft. We got a huge bump out of that. But that was a draft. The bump that we've got now is because we did the thing that's most important in the National Football League. We won games, and we won important games. That's what's real, and it's going to continue to be. As I say, look, you've got an owner. I mean, she was right in the middle of all those people at Power and Light District too. And then, you know, my niece was up there, and so she finally, my little niece got me, and her boyfriend said, can we please go somewhere where we can just talk to you? You know, where you don't know everybody and everybody doesn't know you.
That's tough.
So we went off and talked. And then, you know, I went back to the hotel after that. Amy Adams Strunk is still in the lobby talking with people there.
Anybody
taking pictures,
and everything.
She is the absolute best. I'm just saying, the best.
You want to take some more phone calls, Coach?
Sure, I love
it. 2 hours she was in that lobby.
She's the best.
Yep. Start with Joey in Cross Plains. Joey, thanks for calling Coach Mack in 3HL.
Hey, Coach Mack. You know, I'm going to try to get down to a training camp because I would really love to meet you. I just got to find a ride.
Joey, but, I'd love to find a ride and come to training camp because I'll be there, brother.
But, you know, I've got two questions for you. One,
okay.
With the defense, how hard is it to switch over from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and vice versa? And during the game, on the Jonnu Smith catch down the sideline, you called it an OVS or an OVC.
Oh, I love these calls. See, first of all, I love that you're listening into that detail. That makes me can't wait to meet you. And I'll answer both of those questions, Joey. Great call. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach Mack. You have a good one.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay. All right. First of all, 3-4 to a 4-3. There is a difference. There is a difference. Let's start with the 3-4, a base 3-4. Now, I'm not talking about a hybrid 3-4. We're talking base, okay? A base 3-4 is you've got three interior players. You've got somebody that's going to be a two-gap on the nose, and then you've got two down tackles with their hands on the ground. They're going to play either inside shoulder or outside shoulder of the guards, all right, depending on how you deploy them. Those three are going to have their hands on the ground. Your two outside linebackers, you know, they're going to be hybrid guys. They're going to have to be bigger guys that can hold an edge, you know, when you want to hold an edge. But they've also got to be able to, when you morph into your blitz packages, they've got to be able to cover, and then they've got to be able to rush the passer. All right? You're back in now. Instead of having three linebackers behind the ball like you do in a 4-3, you've got two. And so one of your safeties has to be able to drop down and be able to morph down in, you know, to do that. In a 4-3, your two interior players – you've got two designated spots on the interior. You've got a three technique, which is playing the outside shoulder of the guard, normally to the tight end side. All right. That's a different type of player than your shade player inside that's playing in the center guard gap. They're two completely different players. Okay. The quintessential 4-3, three technique is Aaron Donald. Okay. Mm. And then your quintessential guy that would say, or Jarrell Casey, if we ran a 4-3, he'd be the three technique, which he lines up a lot in the hybrid.
He's been in both systems here.
In the hybrid here, yes. that's what he does. And so your shade guy is bigger. But now your two defensive ends are mainly pass rushers, but you've got two distinct guys there too. You've got one guy that will probably be a little stronger against the run that will line up to what we call the closed side or the tight end side. And then your guy that lines up on the open side or the five technique, which is outside shoulder of a offensive tackle on the open side, he's a little bit more of your pass rusher. It's a little bit more right side, left side, you know, if you want to talk to it like that. But then you have three distinct linebackers behind the ball. You got a true middle linebacker. You got a Sam backer that lines up to the tight end side. You got a Will backer. An example of a great Will linebacker would be a Keith Bullock. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were running a 4-3 here, we had our middle linebacker that could be able to key and diagnose and run gaps really quick. You know, that was Stephen Tulloch. Okay, that was Stephen Tulloch. The Sam linebacker was David Thornton, mm-hmm. you know, who was really strong. And then Keith Bullock was the Will linebacker because he could do everything. Mm-hmm. All right. And then you've got your secondary that you disperse behind it. All right. And that's what that is.
Man.
Which do you prefer?
But here's what I really
Does it matter to you?
Well, it doesn't matter to me. First of all, when you've got a collection of players and you've done it long enough, you realize pretty quick what you're better at. Because there's a way to get to a 3-4 from a 4-3 pretty mm-hmm. quick. You know, I mean, the Chiefs did it some, doing what you call an under defense, where they'll shift the line to the open side, bring the Sam linebacker up on the line of scrimmage, kick people down. There's ways to get to both, all right? And the way that things work now, especially, a lot of people are three down in nickel situations anyway because of all the different personnel groups that you put together.
Okay,
I've coached them both.
He also asked about the throw to John U.
Here's the OVS. OVS stands for outside vertical stretch. And the outside vertical stretch is three people to one side of the field. Okay, you've got one flat, you've got one crosser, and you got somebody going to the corner. So it's a three-tier route, and it's called an OVS, outside vertical stretch. And you mainly do that. You can work the route against either four under three deep or five under two deep. They just have to run the routes at different areas and at different stop points. That's what OVS stands for, outside vertical stretch.
Great show powered by the Tennessee Lottery. One more segment with Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let's run through some of these phone calls. You ready, Coach?
Always ready for the fans. Let's go.
Let's get Christian and Mount Juliet, who will lead us off. Christian, thanks for calling.
What's up, Coach Mack? How you doing, man?
Christian, let me tell you something, brother. It was so good seeing you in Baltimore. And when I talk about the fans that were just running up the steps in two-tone blue after that game to come high-five Mike Keith and I and Rhett Bryan in the booth through the windows, you were leading the charge. I loved it, brother. I absolutely loved it.
They had to kick us out of that place that night. We were the last ones out of there. We had a good time all the way through, man. Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? You earned every second of it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I want to bring up Kerry Coombs. I know he's heading off to Ohio State to be the defensive coordinator. And you've already kind of touched on some of the position coaches and as a coach that's really done it all as a position coach, a coordinator, and a head coach. Every time we hear about either side of the ball, it's about the coordinator or the head coach, depending on, you know, what his past is. How important and vital are those position coaches to the success of these squads? Because our secondary the last couple of years has been phenomenal, even replacing some of the injuries we had. So how important are those guys, and how important is it making sure you have the right guys in those positions? I'll hang up and listen. See you guys.
Christian, great question, and stay in touch, brother. I mean, what a fabulous – I mean, look, that guy's one of the best. His dad, his granddad are great fans. I mean, he was up here. I mean,
that's a Titans radio intern, Christian.
That's a really sharp young man there. Anyway, look, assistant coaches in the National Football League are the roots and the boots on the ground that are the lifeblood of a football team because they spend more time with those players than anybody other than the strength and conditioning coach and the guys in the training room. Just because that's the way it's set up. And so, as I said, and we talked about it earlier, you can just get the fiber and the fabric of an assistant coach just by watching his players play. And so that is the roots of a football team. It really is. And so that's one of the most important things you can do. I've hired staffs, and I know how important that is. And you not only hire staff to be able to coach the position. You hire a staff that will be able to be symbiotic with each other too, and be able to work off, and you know, one strength work off another strength, and that's so critical and important. Kerry Coombs came in here. This was his first NFL job, and did a marvelous job. And players respect two things. They respect honesty, and they respect work ethic. And they also respect, all players want is somebody that's going to be honest and make them better. Make them better. He took a group of players from veterans like Logan Ryan all the way through to the brand new ones like Adoree Jackson that he had, and he made them better, and they respected him for that. And he not only, and the secondary is a group. Look, with what goes on in the National Football League now, those guys have so much on their plate. You can't even, that's why I love during, I mean, you guys have stood with me before during training camp. You always know that during individual period to start out early on, we'll go down and watch the secondary because I want to see, I want to watch him start to teach the adjustments and start to teach the movement together that they have to do. Kerry Coombs was excellent. Mike Vrabel, well, he'll hire him another excellent secondary coach. But the question was, how important are position coaches? Vital, vital.
Let me ask you about Harold Landry, year one to year two. What did you see there? What do you anticipate year two to year three?
Well, he still's got more development, you know, to do. He really does. I mean, he had 9 sacks this year, and I mean, he had 9 sacks, but he did more than that. But, you know, the thing that you want, and he wants it too. Look, when you're that young, and you come in as a young player, there is no stopping in your development. And that's what's important for young players to realize, that it's not just the year one to year two development. The critical things now start. What can you do now to start refining it and become more productive those years down the road? I've been fortunate enough, and I've said this before on this show, and I only repeat it because I've witnessed it. I've watched Hall of Fame players practice, and I've never been involved with a Hall of Fame player that didn't come into each consecutive season with a plan to get better in some aspect. Harold Landry needs to do that too.
Another guy that's young, that's going into year three now, that I think is an all-pro type player in the making is Rashawn Evans. Am I wrong about that?
Well, look, I don't even care about all-pro. I don't really care. That to me doesn't matter. I know this. He is all ball. I love, you know, I did that one segment for Microsoft early in the year, just sitting with he and Jayon Brown. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if anything would make me want to coach again, it's that again, just sitting with those dudes.
Sitting with players.
Talking ball. I love Rashawn Evans. I love Rashawn Evans, not only because of his physical ability, because he's a football guy. He loves it. And he all he thinks about is getting, is improving, but he is such a team-driven player. I mean, I love Rashawn Evans. Now, you know what? To me, your performance gets you all those other things, right? But his performance and his preparation is putting him on the path that all he wants. And I promise you, Rashawn Evans, just like most in that locker room, they want to be playing this next week. And that's what their goal is.
Let's get Jason in next, who is checking in from Nashville. Jason, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys. Coach Mack,
Hi, Jason.
Two real quick, good segue. Talk about getting better. This is an important offseason for the Titans because we're just knocking on the door from doing that good to great series that the coach has been mentioning. But what, if anything, would you do as a coach and with your experience looking down on the offensive line, the first question, to change and or not change and maybe technique to help them become better at pass blocking? Because if there was a kink in their armor, that might be the one kink that we could probably pick out. And secondly, because we face so many fast quarterbacks in our division and the AFC and extremely quick receivers, how do we get faster on defense so we don't have to play that soft, soft zone, just keeping everything in front of us and be up and in people's face and be more aggressive and confident about getting to these quarterbacks and shutting down these receivers? Thanks. Yeah. I'll hang up and listen, brother.
Yeah, Jason, you're always trying to improve. You talk about, you know, pass blocking technique is something that really most players come into this league really needing to learn the nuances and intricacies of, because you're really not asked to do it that much
right
in the NCAA. You're really not. I mean, and especially at this level and against the type of people week in and week out and the type of schemes that you're going to see. You know, one of the most difficult areas to play in the National Football League is the offensive line. I mean, you want to talk about intricate things that go on that people have no idea of. and how it has to work. We just saw with our offensive line this year how important five-man continuity is and how important all of that stuff is. Look, they've got excellent offensive line coaches, and this offensive line is excellent. And look, you're going to get beat sometimes in the National Football League because those people that are coming after you and those defensive coordinators that are designing those things to get to the quarterback, those, I mean, that's real stuff. It really is. You're never going to shut anybody out completely. I thought this offensive line really did a good job this year when we got on this 12-week run. And so, you know, don't let some disappointments of just maybe one game performance, you know, say that we need to completely scrap and do something completely different. Look, speed is always paramount in everything you do. Speed is speed. And look, we probably played as much press man as anybody did, you know, this year. And I thought Dean Pease and what he did, especially when he lost his two starting corners, you know, for a pretty good stretch, did a tremendous job. You have to do what your people allow you to do at the time. And really, the National Football League, defensively especially, it's such a week-to-week job of designing a game plan that is centric on that week. And so whatever works, works. And people need to get out of their minds. And seriously, yards really don't matter in the National Football League anymore. It's points, okay? It's points, and it's ability to close out games. That's what matters. And so the rules are set for offenses to go wild in this league. And for some of the defense that this defense played in the playoffs to hold New England and Baltimore to what they did defensively and I mean offensively, and then through the year. But look. Yeah, your question was about speed. Speed is paramount everywhere. You always try to accumulate as much speed with football acumen and football ability that you can. Speed by itself doesn't do anything. I've seen a lot of fast guys come in to try to play football, and they had no idea whether it was pumped or stuffed. All right? So you've got to be able to know how to play football, too.
So squeezing one more call. Paxton checking in with Coach Mack. Hello, Paxton.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Coach Mack, I love having you, and every time hearing your voice, man, it makes me great. It makes me feel great. So,
thank you so much.
Yes, sir. So my question for you is, what is the advice for, I guess, a young coach and Mike Vrabel on not becoming the 2017 Jaguars? I mean, that was a team that we all thought was going to put the NFL on notice, and then they just went completely away. So I fear that for the Titans. I don't want that to be a thing for us. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Paxton, don't be concerned about that. This, I promise you, that building up there is not the Jaguars. And I spent most of this hour talking about what Amy Adams Strunk has put together up there from top to bottom. Look, I've been in this league long enough to know good from bad. And I've also been in this league long enough and have enough water in my bucket that I can say the truth all the time and feel good about it. I promise you. You can be concerned about a lot of things. Don't be concerned about that.
All right, we got one more phone
call.
Let's go. Let's get it in. Let's get Brian and Franklin in with Coach Mack before he's got to go. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, it's really two questions. You was Coach Mike Singletary, correct?
Yeah, 7 years.
Yes, sir. You was there the last game he played. I seen a video of you and him yesterday on YouTube.
Let me tell you something. Being involved with Mike Singletary really jump-started my career. And not only my career as a football coach, it made me a better football coach, and it afforded me a lot of great things for 31 years. Made me a better person, too. Mike Singletary is one of the best human beings. Let's just take football out of it for 1 second. I know we're running up against time. One of the best human beings on this earth. I love Mike Singletary.
Well, man, I appreciate it. And I know you got to go. Do you ever get the itch to coach again, man? Because you're so knowledgeable. I mean,
yeah, there's an opening.
I don't understand why he don't look at you.
Well, look, and I can tell you this. I've had opportunities all 3 years that I've been here to go somewhere else to do something as that. Look, I'm really, really happy with what I'm doing. And I coached in the National Football League for 31 years. I coached in college, major college football, for 13 years before that. I've got 44 years of coaching straight in my life. And believe me, I was very, very fulfilled by doing that. But you never – God's honest truth, you never get it out of your system. You never do, because every day I walk out to watch that practice field, every now and then I'm watching something and I've got an itch to get both feet across that white line. But look, what I'm doing
like
now,
the field of dreams.
Yeah, what I'm doing now, it affords me such great access. And then just to be able, and I said it earlier, I was never able to interact with the fans like I am now. when you're coaching. You just can't. I love this part of it. I love being part of this radio station. I love being part of Titans radio. And then I just love being a part of, you know, the Titans, you know, in the off season. When I love going doing those season ticket events. I like all of that. I really do, because I believe in what's going on and it's fun for me. And also I like that people that I can impart a little bit of knowledge. And what makes me feel good is people say, Mac, some of the things you say helps me to watch the game a little different. That really makes me feel good.
And you've educated an entire city.
You still are coaching. You're Nashville's coach now.
Yeah, that's right.
The Zone's coach.
And Dawn should name her baby Coach Mac.
And that don't do that.
There you go.
Don't do that. Dawn's baby will be so pretty. She'll be so pretty because her mother's pretty. And that works.
Macalina.
And her dad's her dad.
Yeah. Macalina.
Macalina.
Don't do that.
I did have fun watching you do Coach Mac stuff in Baltimore and then where were we last? Kansas City. Yeah. I did enjoy watching that.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Just got to keep doing more of it, man. Got to keep going on these.
My friend Russ.
Those season runs.
My friend Russ was there. He met Amy Adams Strunk. He met Lindell. He met CJ. You know what he said? I want to meet Coach Mac.
He did, too.
He did. He loved it.
These people are so good here. I love it here. I love it here in Nashville. As I said, I'm out in this city a lot. So if you see me out eating, come sit down. I'll talk a lot.
Coach Mac, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Whole hour just goes by in the blink of an eye. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Coach.